From WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. About 2 million people in the U.S. have lost an arm, a hand, a leg, or other limb. Many opt to use a prosthesis, a fabricated upper or lower limb. Luke Osborne, a graduate student in biomedical engineering at Johns Hopkins University, tells us about an electronic skin that can create the sensation of touch for the user of an upper limb prosthesis. And George Leve, a research participant who lost his arms to meningitis, describes what it was like using the electronic skin on his prosthetic hand.
For me, what was really special was the feeling, was the sensation of it. Because that definitely kind of left me wanting more.
It's on the record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. About 2 million people in the U.S. have lost an arm, a hand, a leg, or other limb, according to the nonprofit Amputee Coalition. Many opt to use a prosthesis, a fabricated upper or lower limb. The design and materials used in the creation of prosthetic limbs has evolved significantly, but only recently have engineers and designers come close to recreating the tactile sensation that has been missing in using a prosthesis. Later in the show, we'll hear from a research participant who lost his arms to a meningitis infection about what it's like to experience tactile sensation again using his prosthetic hand. Joining us now is Luke Osborne, a graduate student in biomedical engineering at Johns Hopkins University. He works in the neuroengineering and biomedical instrumentation lab, where he and his colleagues recently created an electronic skin that can create the sensation of touch for the user of an upper limb prosthesis. Welcome to On the Record, Luke.
Thanks for having me.
What led you to researching and designing the functionality of prosthesis?
Well, when you look at a prosthetic hand, most of the devices give back some sort of control to an amputee. But what's missing a lot of times is the ability to receive sensory information back from that prosthesis. And so if you look at some of the research that's been happening recently, people are interested in how can you provide sensations of touch back to an amputee through their prosthesis.
And so you've created this thing called an electronic skin, an e-dermis. What's it made of? How does it work?
That's right. So dermis, as you may know, is another name for our skin. And so it's the e-dermis itself is made up of fabric and rubber. And the fabric lets us measure changes in pressure, so to speak. So we can construct the sensor so it goes over the fingertips of a prosthetic hand. And then when you touch something with that prosthesis, you're able to measure some sort of pressure.
How does this e-dermis attach to the user to create sensation?
Yeah, so it looks a little bit like a Band-Aid that you might put over your finger. And so it's a cuff. So if you can imagine something that you wrap around the tips of your finger, it looks a lot like that.
And it attaches?
So we just slip it over the tips of the finger on the prosthesis, and it's
so sort of like putting on a rubber glove. It holds on with that kind of tension.
Exactly, that's right, because we make it just a little bit smaller than the size of the finger.
So it's snug.
That's right.
And something called transcutaneous electrical nerve stimulation, or TENS, is involved. Tell us how that works.
That's right, and that's a mouthful. So essentially what that is a way to provide stimulation to some people use it to stimulate muscles, and that activates the muscles. But in our case, we're using it to target peripheral nerves, so sensory fibers that send information about touch back to our spinal cord and our body. So what we do is we take a small metal probe, maybe about a millimeter in diameter, and run it along the skin, the outside of the skin. And when you pass over a nerve fiber, you get this sensation of activity somewhere in your hand. And so what we've done is we found where those spots of activation are on the residual limb of an amputee so that when we stimulate them, it provides some sensation in their phantom hand.
So this is a sensation one would have in a phantom limb? I mean, we hear about people who have lost limbs still feeling something in that limb, that hand or that arm that's no longer there?
That's right. So the goal with this target or this transcutaneous electrical nerve stimulation is to find the sites on the residual limb of an amputee that when stimulated will activate some region of the phantom hand. Because what's happened is nerves have gone from, say, the tips of your finger all the way up through your arm, back to your spinal cord, and then up to your brain, which is how we're able to perceive things that we touch. But in the case of an amputation, those nerves have been cut, but they're still there. So what we're trying to do is find where those nerves are so that when we stimulate them, it feels like something is touching the hand that's no longer there.
This is On the Record on WIP. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with Johns Hopkins biomedical engineer researcher Luke Osborne about his design of an electronic skin for use on prosthetic hands to create the sensation of touch. So the skin translates the sense of touch and of pain. It seems like not feeling pain would be one of the few upsides of having lost a limb. Why recreate for the user of a prosthesis the feeling of pain?
It's important to remember that the pain is actually a really crucial part of our sensations. And so we use pain to give us some indication of damage or harm, potential harm to our bodies. And so one thing that's missing in a prosthesis is not only the ability to touch something and feel it, but then also the ability to know if that is something that's painful or potentially harmful to the device itself.
So the epidermis can feel whether something is smooth or sharp that might cut.
That's right.
Or so poke.
Mm-hmm, you're exactly right. So the epidermis is looking at pressure. And so when you touch something that's nice and rounded, maybe like an egg, that has a nice smooth curvature, and it's rather large, and so that's not painful. But if you were to grab something like the tip of a fork or maybe a knife, that's really sharp, and that creates a really highly localized pressure in certain areas on your fingers. And so what the epidermis does is it picks that up and translates that into something that's painful.
Can the user also sense temperature?
In some cases, yeah, it's been recorded. In this case, no. So the it really depends on the amputee and the way we're able to stimulate those nerves to provide different sensations. So in this case, the work we've done recently is we were able to provide sensations of touch and pain back to the user. And so as this research progresses, people are interested in, well, what other aspects of touch can you provide back to a user?
So you might add more than you've got right now.
In the future, right? That's the ideal case, to make these limbs a little bit more lifelike and more realistic.
But focusing on touch, isn't touch very unique from person to person? I mean, how do you take that into account in designing this?
Mm-hmm. Sheila, you're absolutely right. So touch is an extremely complicated, multifaceted sensation that we have. And, you know, we all perceive things maybe a little bit differently. And so in doing this type of research, we spend a lot of time trying to understand the perceptions that an amputee has when we provide the sensory feedback through the nerve stimulation. So we go through several hours and days and months even worth of experiments to understand what they feel when we provide different stimulation patterns. And so by doing this, we're able to quantify or figure out what it is they feel when we provide certain stimulations.
So it's very personal, the research. Each of these epidermises, it's not an on-the-shelf item.
Not yet, but every time we work with a new person, we do spend quite a bit of time trying to understand what it is they feel, where they feel it in their phantom hand, and what that sensation is.
Luke Osborne is a Johns Hopkins biomedical engineering researcher. We're talking about his design of an electric skin for use on a prosthetic hand to create the sensation of touch for the user. Need to take a short break now, and then we will meet one of those research participants who was involved in designing a unique e-dermis. We'll ask him what it's like to feel tactile sensation again using his prosthetic hand. I'm Sheila Cast. Stay with us on The Record.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking today about research on prosthetic limbs, specifically an electronic skin that can be used with a prosthetic hand to recreate tactile sensation for the user. We've been speaking with Luke Osborne, a graduate student in biomedical engineering at Johns Hopkins University. He works in the neuroengineering and biomedical instrumentation lab. He and his colleagues developed the electronic skin. Joining us via phone from his home in Budapest, Hungary, is research participant George Leve to talk about what it feels like to use the electronic skin. Leve is a biomedical engineer with a focus on enhancing prosthesis control. He's a research consultant with Infinite Biomedical Technologies, a company based in Baltimore that designs and manufactures prosthesis hardware. Welcome to On the Record, George.
Thank you for having me.
George, you first worked side by side with Luke in the lab led by Dr. Nitish Thakor at Johns Hopkins. Tell us your background and how you eventually came to be a participant in this research.
Well, I started out here in Hungary where I lost my arms and parts of my feet. I had a meningitis infection. Afterwards, a septic shock occurred, which left a lot of my body parts in a necrotic state, so they had to remove it.
Oh my.
I was already studying as an engineer, and I applied for a Fulbright scholarship, which I won, and that's how I got to Johns Hopkins. That's how I got to the lab and met Luke. I started my work on control, on the control aspect of prosthetic devices, because I myself had a prosthesis that I really did not like very much. So that's kind of what drove me into the field, and that's how I got in contact with Luke's work. And we started the experiments pretty early on. Luke, correct me if I'm wrong, about the end of or middle of 2016. And it took quite a few months to get everything going, get all the sites located and getting the simulations, you know, flowing through my residual limb. But as soon as we started hitting those spots, it really was a very different sensation and very different experience, simply because I have this phantom limb sensation, which some amputees have and some don't. It's not universally existent. But for most who do have it, there's issues with controlling it, or there's pain associated with it. And I myself feel like it's there, but I can't really move the fingers and I can't really, you know, change the location of it. As soon as I started getting these stimulations, it kind of filled up again. It was like a hollow shell before, and it started filling up. There was a very, very special feeling.
I'm trying to understand that. Does that mean that your prosthesis, this artificial hand, all of a sudden felt more like your real hand had?
I wouldn't say that necessarily, because I didn't associate the feeling with my prosthesis. I just felt my hand as it was, you know, kind of sitting there, quote unquote, for the past about 5 years in this phantom limb state, not really being able to do much with it. And then as these sensations came, it started to almost come back to life. It definitely brought back a feeling of of that self-awareness, or at least the awareness of my lost limb.
Well, tell me more about the experimental process of finding the nerve connections. How did that work?
Well, the way that my amputation happened is, as I mentioned, there was severe tissue necrosis.
Necrosis means the death of the tissue. It's there, but it's dead.
Yeah, so necrosis is tissue death. So that wasn't limited to the peripheries. My skin all over my body had spots of dead tissue that they had to take away. The random muscle groups died away. And even though my amputation happened right above my elbow, even above the area, they had to take off little pieces of muscle and most of the skin. So what ended up happening is I was left with these random kind of cut-up muscle pieces, and the nerves tended to grow back into them. They became denervated, so they were not, there wasn't any nervous connection to it, and the nerves that were cut during the amputation wanted to grow into tissue, and they found these little islands of muscle where they grew in. What that resulted in is that when I try to move my phantom thumb or my phantom pinky finger, there's still some activation in my upper arm area. And so we kind of knew where to look for certain nerves on my residual limb. And Luke started targeting those areas. Exactly how, I didn't know, because I wasn't aware of the methods of how all this happened. All I knew was the sensations that I was getting. But what I felt or experienced was that he was going around my skin trying to find these spots where I felt activation. And my job was to tell him, you're kind of, you know, this is hot or this is cold, in the sense that, are you getting higher or lower activation in my now non-existent thumb or a pinky finger or a wrist area?
That's George Leve here on The Record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast. Leve was a primary participant in testing an electronic skin called E-Dermis for use over a prosthetic hand that allows users to experience tactile sensation. Also with us is Johns Hopkins researcher Luke Osborne, part of the team who developed the electronic skin. George, you used the phrase a minute ago, everyday tasks. How has E-Dermis changed, or has it changed, what your hand can do? What could you do before? What can you do now?
Well, just to be clear, from a functional standpoint, this is not a device that I have on my prosthesis or that I can take home. These kinds of experiments, especially the ones that are relatively, you know, exploratory, like Luke's work, it's new and it's exciting, but it's also limited to certain specifications. So we cannot take this out of the laboratory, or I can't, which I'm not happy about necessarily, but that's just how it goes. It still needs to be checked for a lot of safety reasons. But in the lab, while I was using it, it definitely helped in certain tasks. Not just because it gave me feeling back, but also it allowed the hand to do certain tasks better based on whether it feels something or not. So it's a bit, I can't talk to how it would affect my everyday life because I just didn't have a chance to actually test that out. But it definitely has its theoretical benefits. And there's a reason for why this is such an exciting area. There's definitely potential in advancing it.
Is the value that you feel more about improving function or a more lifelike experience?
That's a difficult question. It's still, I think, too early to be able to say, oh, well, this is going to provide functional benefit in this and that and another aspect. For me, what was really special was the feeling, was the sensation of it, because that definitely kind of left me wanting more. And for upper limb amputees, the higher the amputation level is, the higher the probability that a prosthetic device will become abandoned, which means they get it, but it's not practical, so they won't use it. Now, if prosthetic devices had a system built in which would allow users to feel their hands better, feel their lost limbs, maybe help them manage their phantom pain, or just in general give them kind of the soothing sensation, well, that would definitely be kind of a motivating factor to use these devices.
If someone has not experienced the sensation of a phantom limb, Luke, would this electronic skin work for them?
The e-dermis gives more information than just back to the users. So another aspect that the sensor can provide is information to the prosthesis itself. So an example is if you were to pick up a cup of water or coffee with your intact hand, you're pretty good at making sure that that doesn't drop or move. So that's something that you don't really think about. And so in that sense, the e-dermis would be useful for providing information to the prosthesis itself so that it's able to better manipulate objects, even if the user isn't necessarily able to perceive those sensations. So in some sense, yes, this is something that would still be useful even if you weren't able to provide the same sensations back to the user.
George, you're in the unique position to be both engineer and user of prostheses. What, in your opinion, are the biggest hurdles to improving design?
One is sensory feedback. How do we analyze the world around us, and how do we take that information, provide it either back to the prosthesis or back to the user? There's all kinds of research in this area, but it's very difficult, it's very hard, and it's missing some few crucial points. One I'd like to highlight is something called proprioception, which is a very interesting sensation, and it's something that's kind of inherently overlooked. Just the fact that if anyone who has their limbs, they close their eyes, they know exactly where their hands and feet are in space. Now, someone using a prosthesis does not know that. So if I want to, for instance, with my prosthesis, pick up a cup of water, I have to visually see where my hand is to know what I'm doing with it. If you want to pick up a cup of water, but you know that that water is kind of to your right, you can sense it out without even looking there. It's that information, providing that back, it's very crucial, but it's very difficult. Another area is suspension. We're suspended to our limbs on the inside. We have an endoskeleton. And all these prosthetic devices, they connect to us, not all of them, but most connect to us on the outside. They have a rigid socket that we put our residual limbs in as amputees, and then kind of maybe have a harness that attaches to us. And that's not really, you know, how we work. It's a bit difficult to manage. It also gets hot. There's all kinds of issues associated with that. And the third is the control. And the challenge there is that our hands, they have 23 degrees of freedom. And we can control those. We can rotate some. We can flex and extend. And we can control them individually. We can control them simultaneously. That is a lot of information that we need to find ways to convey from the user to the prosthesis. That's been a significant challenge as well, probably one of the biggest ones to really creating functional devices.
George, what are your personal frustrations?
As an engineer, just everything. Everything is a frustration for me because I see or experience things that just don't work. And I think, oh, why not find a solution for it? Why not find a solution for it? It's just a difficult field that combines, you know, the human experience with the most high-end parts of software development and hardware development. There's still some ways to go before these prosthetic devices become truly useful.
A big challenge. Thank you both for talking to us about it. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, George.
Thanks for having us.
Luke Osborne is a graduate student in biomedical engineering at Johns Hopkins University, part of the team that designed eDermis, an electronic skin for use over a prosthetic hand. It creates the sensation of touch for the user. George Leve, primary research participant and biomedical engineer, he came to Baltimore as a Fulbright scholar and now consults for Infinite Biomedical Technologies from his home in Budapest. We have a link to videos and articles about the research at the On the Record page at WIPR.org. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cass. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.